Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, a violinist. I'm coming to you because I wanted to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secret to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music while learning the secrets to success in both music and business and technology. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. Please pull out your phones and follow me on Instagram at ladyze. This week's episode is all about technology and science. And in my preparation for this interview, I watched quite a few lectures from all over the world by today's special guest, who is Dr. Tamsin Woolley Barker. She is an evolutionary biologist, innovation consultant, and biomimicry professional with a doctorate in evolutionary anthropology from New York University. She was among the first cohort to receive the biomimicry master's degree from Arizona State University's Biomimicry Center. Now, Dr. Tamsin Woolley Barker is going to explain what biomimicry is, so make sure you have your pencil and paper because you're going to learn a lot of great things today. She is now the adjunct professor of biomimicry at Arizona State University, and her book, Teaming, How Superorganisms Work to Build Infinite Wealth in a Finite World, is a number one Amazon bestseller in organizational learning, environmental economics, ecology, and animal behavior. Testament to its interdisciplinary nature, this book has been read on every continent and is entering its second printing. And I must add that I've always been in awe of nature and animals and insects, but definitely Dr. Tamsin's work has given me a renewed appreciation for organisms as small as the ant. So without further ado, I would like to present to some and introduce to others Dr. Tamsin Willie Barker. How are you, Dr. Tamsin?
Hi, Lady Z. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just really excited that you came on the show. I know you have a lot of knowledge and wisdom to share with our audience. And I just want to start just, you know, from the beginning, like what drew you to biology?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was always really into animals, obsessed with nature. And, I wanted to be Jane Goodall when I grew up. My big question was always like, what is human nature? What are people all about? And just that weird animals too, you know, we're not that different. And I was really into Dr. Doolittle. And now I realize the commonality was that I was always like a translator for nature.
Right.
And that's what I do today. I really translate nature's solutions into solutions we can use today. And then on that Jane Goodall theme, I ended up studying primatology. So I was living in Ethiopia, studying baboons in an area where they discovered Lucy, if you know that fossil.
Oh, yeah, the fossil Lucy.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's the cradle of humanity right there. I mean, it's really like the crucible where humans were evolving, and the baboons are in that area today. And so you can see a lot of the same patterns. So that's really where I got a lot of these deep patterns on human nature. And then, you know, I hated academic politics, the institutions. And then, so I got a job as a, you know, scientist, a genetic engineer. And guess what? I hated corporate life too.
Same. Yeah, the politics in corporate America and academia are very similar.
Exactly. And so I kept thinking, you know, I ended up going into business for myself, and I worked with my husband for 12 years doing that. And mm-hmm. I love being in business for myself, but I really, you know, missed the biology. So I thought, like, what is the problem with corporate life? And I ended up teaching, coaching executive leaders that were scientists into executive roles.
Okay.
You know, they don't have the soft skills as a rule. You know, they had to move up, but they didn't really have the communication skills they needed. And I kept thinking, you know, what is the problem with corporate life? And you know, I saw all the similarities between CEOs and baboons. But more than that, I saw that the businesses and institutions, academics, school, all of these institutions that we live in are just not structured for us to be creative and to innovate and to solve the problems that we have in the world, which are really big.
So, you know what is so, I mean, you said so many points, so many things that I want to touch upon. And I just have to say this interview is right on time because I've had countless discussions with people about creativity, career, business. And I think this is something that is on people's minds these days. So this is really cool. So when you talk about, you know, when you were coaching scientists who are moving into executive leadership positions and they lack the soft skills, can you elaborate on the communication challenges that they had?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they were very talented at what they were doing, very bright and good at science and solving problems. But when it came to building teams and communicating with their team members, they didn't have it. So they didn't have like conflict resolution skills. They weren't, they didn't create good cultures, cultures where people felt free to contribute and be creative and speak their mind. Mm-hmm. And it was also kind of a diversity killer because anyone who doesn't feel like they belong just doesn't speak up. So, right. You know, and in any kind of innovative field, you have to have that diverse contributions because that's how evolution occurs.
So would I be correct in saying like in these environments with these scientists who lack the soft skills that groupthink would grow and thrive because of the lack right. of soft skills?
Yeah, because people just wouldn't speak up. And so it would end up becoming very standardized. There would be a lot of resentment or undercurrents that would never get brought up. Then it would just be business as usual. And so innovation would die, collaboration would die. I mean, in my company, it was a German company, and they all spoke German and they wouldn't speak English, even though they could.
Right.
And so anyone that didn't speak German was cut out.
Right.
You know, and it just creates an atmosphere where people are not willing to contribute oddball ideas.
Right, right.
They don't feel like they belong.
Okay. So you go from, you know, working, you didn't want to work in academia, you did the corporate America thing, and you start thinking about the problems that you see in corporate America. And so with that in mind, how did that inform your research?
Right. So the primatology research I was doing, there were two different species of baboons that were living in this area, and they had totally different social structures. And one of them had evolved very fast and was really different. And they were very collaborative and very resilient. They live in a kind of desert habitat that's very challenging. Mm-hmm. And the other one had a more usual social structure that just didn't change very fast and didn't have a lot of cooperation. And so when I started working in the with these executives, I kept thinking, you know, oh, if we just did it, if we were this organized the way that these other baboons did, we could change very quickly and we would become more collaborative. And so that's what got me thinking. And then I found out about biomimicry as a field, mm-hmm. which, your audience might not be that familiar with it. But
yes, can you please define what biomimicry is?
Sure. It is innovation inspired by nature. So, you know, if you look if you look at a seed burr under a microscope, you see it's got these barbs on it that mm-hmm. grab onto your socks or your pet, whatever. And that's how Velcro was invented. They mimicked it. And so that's what we're talking about, is looking at these structures that have evolved over billions of years. You know, they're proven mm-hmm. to work, and then mimicking them for our own challenges. And that could be like products like that, like Velcro, or there's a tape that mimics gecko feet. Mm-hmm. Or it can be processes like photosynthesis and then systems like circular economies. Like, you know, in nature, there's no waste.
Right.
And so I started looking at applying these social structures and relating them to innovation and collaboration, and then trying to apply them in our corporate life. So
right.
Really a systems level biomimicry.
Wow. That's amazing. So what biomimicry is, I mean, what type of organism right now are you looking at that's really, you know, at the forefront of creating organizations that are more resilient, collaborative, and inclusive and diverse?
Sure. Well, so what's really interesting to me are these superorganism species, which, you know, like ants or honeybees, they live in these colonies, but they're not clones. They're all genetically distinct. And so, you know, they collaborate in such a way that they all have different jobs and they all need each other. So honeybees and ants we know about, but people are the same. You know, we have different jobs. We need each other. We're really a super organism. And it's pretty rare in mammals. So I've been looking a lot at those. But then if you go even further, there's these networked species. That's what I call them, networked species, which are like fungal networks underground, mm-hmm. or even like slime molds. Where there again, these cells are genetically distinct individuals, but they actually share their cell walls. They share everything. And so and if you look at them, it looks just like a model of the internet. So it's really a structure that we are trying to go toward because it works. It's super resilient. You know, if a bear digs through your network, you just go around it. And it's all these individuals are looking for specks of nutrients and water and bringing it. And the amazing thing is they bring it to the trees and trade it for sugar, for photosynthesis. And 95% of the trees on Earth depend on them. So it's really created the entire foundation of life on this planet.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. And I feel like we could do the same thing.
So can you elaborate further? So you have, you know, you talked a little bit about the ants. I remember, I think it was either a lecture or part of your book I was reading, your book Teeming. I was reading about a type of, I think, insect. I'm not sure if it was an ant, but they have these huge networked nests.
Oh, the termites. Yes. Oh, it's crazy. So they, yeah, these termites, these are in Botswana. And I went out there a couple years back and checked it out. But these towers are like 25, 30 feet tall. And the termites just build them. I mean, they don't have a boss. They don't have an org chart or anything like that. No one's telling them what to do. They just all do it. But they build these giant towers, and they've got like nests for farming in them. They have the nursery. They have all these different, you know, air conditioning. They've got it all.
Wow. That's amazing. So how did you research, how do you research these, you know, everything from the baboon to the termite, to the ants? How do you go into nature and observe all of this?
Well, with the baboons, you know, I was camping by the river in the Awash National Park, right where they found Lucy. It was just a really amazing place to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just camp by the river, and you get up early in the morning and you follow the baboons out along their day, and you record their behavior. We were collecting genetic samples too. For the other animals, you know, mostly I rely on research by other scientists.
Okay.
And, you know, just observation, ecology level observation on my part.
Okay. Cool. So what else is happening for you? I know you've been traveling the world lecturing and helping organizations to understand how they can become more collaborative as inspired by biomimicry. So what else is on the horizon for you?
Yeah, well, I've been working with a lot of companies to try to bring this, you know, to the forefront, because, you know, we just have big things we have to get done quickly. And I think business is one way to do that. So, you know, Cisco, Roche, Google, helping them kind of move to that, a similar ant structure with team of teams kind of structure. But then including purpose and culture and all those important things. So I'm writing a book about that, like a workbook to go with teaming. How would you apply that?
Okay.
But I'm also getting really more into the creative side, writing a book on ecology and myth, that's using a lot of indigenous, holistic ways of thinking about ecology. So that's been really fun. And just trying to do more creative work, holistic tracking out in the desert. And, you know, I just like to be outside.
Okay.
That's awesome. If there's a tent, I'm happy.
If there's what, you're happy?
If there's a tent involved, I'm happy.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. So my next question to you is, I know you have your consultancy going on and you also have your book, but you also have another company that you've launched called the Bonobo Revolution, right?
Yes.
So what inspired you to start the Bonobo Revolution, and what is the Bonobo Revolution?
So bonobos, you know, you probably know we're related to chimpanzees, but our other relatives are these bonobos, and we're equally related to chimps and bonobos, but they look pretty similar. Bonobos are a little thinner and smaller, but they have very different social systems. So, you know, in chimpanzees, you've got this big male, you know, it just pretty much takes what they want and orders everybody around. But in the bonobo society, whenever a male tries to do that with a female, she makes this noise and all the other females come running and back her up. So there's female alliances prevent domination in their society. So it's very flat and equitable, and everyone gets more as a result. So, you know, I heard about, I mean, I knew about that because I was a primatologist, but then after the election, you know, it's grabbing by the pussy kind of stuff, you know, I'm like, this is like chimpanzees here, you know, and what we need is a bonobo revolution. So I launched this to get that idea out. And then Me Too came along, you know, and I thought, yeah, that really is how it works. You know, when you speak up and someone says, yeah, me too, that's what gives people the freedom to feel like it's okay to speak the truth. So that's really my mission. But the bigger reason for it is, you know, that I know for us to evolve quickly, we need to have as much diversity as possible. So, absolutely. Yeah. And so I just think this is really important for our collective intelligence, that we need to have all these voices at the table if we're going to solve these problems.
Absolutely. So how do you think science and technology can bring about more diversity in technology and business?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is a cultural issue. I mean, once you understand, I mean, if you know anything about evolution, and obviously these companies never think about it, you know that innovation is directly a result of the diversity that you have. That's just an evolutionary fact. And yet, when everything is standardized, standard operating procedure, best practices, you know, department, everything is like cogs in a machine. And people think they need that in order to scale up, right? But you're killing your innovation. So I think just embedding these kind of evolutionary perspectives in everything we do is just going to help us consciously evolve in ways that are a lot more beneficial.
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole idea of using, you know, nature to innovate organizational norms and policies and procedures is great, because, you know, Silicon Valley lacks diversity on several fronts, ethnically and gender-wise. And yeah. I think a lot of the lack of diversity that we're seeing in politics and corporate America and academia is not good. It's not good for our country at all. So
no. Yeah.
It's nice to see the work that you're doing and how it's informing change in a lot of these organizations. And I'm glad that a lot of them are embracing that. So how can people connect with you and learn more about your work and possibly get your book Teaming?
Yeah, well, I'd love it if you read my book, and I do have an audiobook copy of it, which I recommend. You can get that on Audible or on Amazon. And it's Teaming with two E's. And you can also go to my website, which is teaminnovationgroup.com. And we've got some free resources there. I actually am giving away something really cool right now when you sign up for my newsletter, but I can't remember what it is. I remember thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. So that's there. I've got these two new books in the works, so you get a heads up on that if you sign up on that newsletter.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then Bonobo Revolution, you know, we've got our website up, bonoborevolution.com. And really, it's a movement. So, you know, we're asking people to just, you know, if you believe in equality and equity and a more just society and supporting your sisters, men or women, just go there and take the pledge. Yes, I'm part of the revolution. So those are the two ways you can really support us and find out more about what we're doing.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Tamson, for coming on the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. So my listeners, you have been listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z with special guests, Dr. Tamson Willie Barker, the evolutionary biologist and innovation and team building consultant to scientists and business leaders. And you can definitely connect with her by going to bonoborevolution.com or Team Innovation Group with two E's, not T-A-M, but T-E-E-M, innovationgroup.com. And I'm just so happy that you've had this opportunity to share this time with me and learn more about the world of science and biomimicry. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. And until next time.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.